It's baseball season.
Backing up Nimmo, turning, watching it sail. Goodbye. Reese Hoskins has made a statement at Citi Field.
Get ready for opening day with special opening day coverage.
Pretty great players over there on the other side. You know, it doesn't always matter. They can go ahead and compete with anyone.
Broadcasting live from the shadow of American Family Field at the Tailgate House. Here's Gabe Neitzel.
Let's fucking go.
It is wet, it is raining, but it doesn't matter because baseball is back. Home opener for the Brewers against the Twins, 3:10 first pitch. I am Gabe Neitzel hanging out at the Tailgate House. People starting to file in, you can hear the music bumping in the background. Look, it's not ideal for opening day, I think we all know that. But that's not going to dampen my excitement for... Really, I think this entire season for the Milwaukee Brewers, and it starts today with opening day, and I'm just jazzed because this team is different, and I think we saw that a little bit, or maybe the excitement's different. I'm trying to still put my finger on it because I'm a baseball junkie. I love watching games whenever I can. I'll throw on a random game if it's on TBS or ESPN. I just can't get enough, and... When it comes to opening day, I'm always really excited. Although I didn't get to go to my first home opener until last season, going again today, hoping to make a bit of a tradition out of it now for myself and my family. But and maybe I'm taking too much of a conversation I had with Jen Latta, who obviously you can hear with me, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on weekday mornings from 7 to 9. But at the end of last season, when the Brewers were in the playoffs and then, you know, unfortunately things didn't go their way against the Arizona Diamondbacks, there was a, man, I should have paid more attention during the regular season. And I think with the Brewers, what had happened with Craig Counsell, and again, I don't think this is any fault of Craig's because he had so much success, there was almost a, yeah, they're going to be fine and I'll kind of peripherally pay attention to them. And... You know, you get to the playoffs, and that's when you really pay attention. And unfortunately, it was a short playoff run last year for the Brewers. But I don't know if this roster turnover, Craig Counsell leaving, has added some, a little bit more attention to the Milwaukee Brewers and everything that happened this offseason. Because I feel like an excitement for this team that I didn't feel going into last year. And maybe that is, you know, kind of the freshmen who are now sophomores. Again, using those college terms at the professional level. But, you know, using the freshman YouTube series that the Brewers put out there about all the young guys they had last year with Bryce Terang and Weimer and Garrett Mitchell and all these different guys. And Sal Frelick, who's in the lineup today for the Brewers. But as everybody, you know... The roster is turned over. Craig Counsell leaves. I have an excitement for this team because I think they're going to play a fun style of baseball. And I think the rule changes last year to baseball certainly have added to this, where a lot of the athleticism that the Brewers now have with their youth is going to be able to be taken advantage of. And we'll get into more of that as we talk with Lane Grindle and Sophia Minert and Dominic Catronio and throughout the course of today's show. But I think that the way the season started also really endeared this team to this Milwaukee fan base. If you happen to miss the Reese Hoskins slide and the whole making the crybaby face at McNeil, the second baseman for the Mets during that, if you happen to miss that, it's fantastic. I know Jen had been tweeting out the John Boy on Twitter. Their lip-reading interpretation of everything that had gone on. But then for that to happen on opening day, and then the next day on Saturday for Reese Hoskins to hit a dinger, make the crybaby face as a celebration, to get thrown at, and for him to kind of have that toughness to show the type of player he is to endear himself to a fan base, I think that this team is winning over Milwaukee quickly. And again, maybe that is Craig Counsell deciding to move on and getting a fan base kind of fired up about this team again after Craig decided to leave. But Joshy, am I wrong? Is there a little bit more excitement or at least a little bit more buzz about this team heading into this year? Is that because they're young and we don't necessarily know what to expect, everything that happened, combination of everything? Because, again, maybe I'm making it up in my own mind, but I feel like there's a buzz around this team heading into opening day or the home opener today.
I think there's certainly a change and a buzz that's different from even in the past few years. Now, the Milwaukee Brewers have made the playoffs in recent history kind of a thing people expect. So for everyone, it kind of got to the point of, well, how far are they going to go in the playoffs? You went into everything thinking, we've got a great pitching staff, we've got an offense that we think could probably be better, but is it good enough to get there? Now there's all sorts of wonder. No one really knows what to expect from this team, and there's just youth everywhere you look, and they play fast, and they... Like, Rhys Hoskins looked like he was having fun. The guys seemed to be having fun with them out there. And I don't know if that was every single Brewers team I can remember in, like, recent history, which I think makes everyone more and more excited.
Is that part of the Packers effect kind of leaking over to where, and as odd as it sounds, like, the Brewers are somehow more of a veteran team going into their 2024 than the Packers were heading into their 2023? Yes, there were veterans, but it just looked like youth everywhere. And because that youth brought excitement, I think, to the Packers. And again, I think you take things for granted. We've done it with the Packers for years, and for the majority of my lifetime, you've not been able to do that with the Brewers, right? Like, the Brewers were, you know, for the most part, in the early 2010s, after that team in 2011 that made the run to the NLCS, it's like, if they put a competitive team out there, people are still going to go. They enjoy the tailgating aspect. They enjoyed the culture around baseball. And in recent memory, because they've gone to the playoffs, like, you almost take that for granted. Like, okay, the Brewers are going to be the playoffs. How far are they going to go? It's what happened in the Aaron Rodgers era with the Packers. All right, they got Aaron Rodgers, going to be in the playoffs. How far do we go in the playoffs? And when you end up hitting that reset button, I feel like there is room for this excitement because there is unknown. And again, a lot of that is when you have one of the top prospects in all of baseball in Jackson Chourio, I think that helps as well. And I think that's all part of what kind of molds everything together for the Milwaukee Brewers this year.
I think there's a huge portion of, you don't want to say rebuild, because it seems like the Brewers are in what we would call a rebuild, but they're kind of shortening it. They're not doing the tear down to the studs type thing. They're not the Oakland Athletics. And just like with Jordan Love and Jackson Chourio, you know, you can draw all these comparisons. You can talk about the Packers' young wide receiving core and then just look at their outfield or look at their infield and go, yeah, there's a lot of potential here. And I think we've seen, like we did early in the Packers season, we did it last year a little bit from some of these guys, reason to be really encouraged about their future. They might not be a playoff team this year, but you can start telling yourself a story pretty quickly of, well, this team's got they're good enough to make the playoffs. It might not happen the first time they all are out there together, but I can see it coming in the future.
Yeah, and look, I think because of the youth, they're going to play a fun brand of baseball. They don't have up and down this lineup guys that can drive the ball out of the ballpark. You know, Christian Yelich it hasn't been that guy that's going to hit 25 to 30 dingers. We know that, you know, Willie Adames, you know, can drive the ball out of the ballpark and be in that area. Same thing with the healthy Rhys Hoskins. But they don't have this power lineup up and down like some of the best teams in the National League, like the Atlanta Braves or the Dodgers. And they just don't have that. So they have to play a different style of baseball. And I think we're going to see that. I think we already started to see that through the first three games. Maybe, again, I felt like bunt was a four-letter word for Craig Counsell. Maybe they do that a little bit more. And you can do it with for a base hit the way you have some of the speed with these guys like Jackson Chourio and Sal Frelick and Garrett Mitchell when he's able to be healthy enough to rejoin this team. And when you don't have those power guys, you have to do things differently. And you have to steal bases. You have to take the extra base going from first to third. I think it's going to be, if you like baseball, it's going to be a little different than what we've seen in terms of three true outcome baseball that had kind of taken over in the late 2010s into the 2020s. really all over baseball, I think we're going to see a little bit different style from the Milwaukee Brewers, and I think that becomes exciting. I'm really excited to talk to our next guest because he's been with the Brewers now for a handful of years. He's going to be able to give us some great insight. He is one of the many voices you hear over on WTMJ throughout the course of the summer when it comes to Brewers baseball. Of course, I am talking about Lane Grindle, as Lane is going to be joining us next here on our special opening day programming on 94.5 ESPN. People filing in inside the tailgate house. That's where I'm hanging out for our opening day programming here on 94.5 ESPN, brought to us by our friends at Herd Hospitality. I'm excited to be here. It looks like everybody else is excited to be here. I'll tell you what, everybody walking around, they've got a beer. I cannot wait to step into that stadium, have that first beer for opening day. If you're watching at home, listening at home, hope you get to enjoy the Brewers home opener however you choose to do so. You can also join our conversation at 800-990-3776 like Justin did, saying, I absolutely love that this organization has embraced an identity, athleticism, speed, defense, and building awesome bullpens. And that's something, I think the bullpen talk is something that, even though, you know, David Stearns is no longer here, I think that going back to when he was in charge of the baseball operations, I think that's something that the Brewers have been able to do, is find these different arms in different places and be able to fill out the back part of the bullpen. And the depth of the bullpen is certainly going to be tested, I think, here early in the first part of the season, because we don't have Devin Williams. Devin Williams is just not available for this team. And Abner Uribe, I love what Abner brings. His stuff is absolutely electric. And I think he showed that in picking up the couple of saves that he ended up doing over the weekend in New York. And I think you feel pretty good when you give the ball to Uribe in the ninth inning. Did give up one run, had a couple of strikeouts, but you feel good about him. And how everybody else then kind of fills in behind that is kind of the question, because Uribe in the eighth inning, and then you give way to Devin Williams in the ninth, and I think that would have made you feel a little bit better throughout the course of, you know, this early part of the season. But when now you're looking at saves, you know, Joel Piams was able to pick one up. Trevor McGill had a couple of good innings out there in New York. They've been able to find some good relief pitching, no matter who's been in charge of the baseball operations. And I am excited now to talk to Lane Grindle, who joins us now here on 94.5 ESPN. Of course, one of the voices that you are going to be hearing all summer long over on WTMJ with the Milwaukee Brewers. Lane, thank you so much, man. And I can't imagine opening day ever gets old for you.
Gabe, thanks for having me. And no, it never gets old. This is a special day. Friday was a special day in New York, but this is just that much better because it's with the fans here in Milwaukee and in the state of Wisconsin. And I just don't think there's a better fan base in baseball than this one. They show up. They support the team. They tailgate, even rain or shine. So this is just a fun day. It feels like it's the kickoff to what is always such a fun journey every single year.
So from my understanding, you were just talking with Willie Adames. Anything interesting that Willie had to say ahead of today's game?
Yeah, I was chatting with Willie for the pregame show today. We just wrapped that up a couple of seconds ago. So we talked a lot about his influence on the younger players. I mean, Willie is a young player in his own right, but he's an experienced player. He's been up for a long time. He's played in a bunch of postseasons now, and so he is the guy that if younger players coming up can come to and they can lean on for advice, and it can be something as simple as what time to get on the bus, or it can be something more specific to baseball. And he really loves that role. He loves the fact that, you know, Jackson Churchill is a rising superstar in this game, and he's 20 years old, and that Willie can be a pillar, as Murph calls some of these veteran guys, that a guy like Jackson can lean on. And so Willie embraces that. You couldn't ask for a better leader to be a part of this group. And I'm excited to see what kind of a season Willie can put together. He had a great spring, and spring numbers don't necessarily mean a lot, but it does tell you if a guy is feeling good and seeing the baseball well. And he certainly was doing that. And he's just been one of my favorite guys to cover in my 9 years with the Brewers, because what you appreciate about Willie Adames is that he comes to the ballpark every day. He's the same guy, regardless if he's in an 0 for 15 slide or if he's, you know, 9 for his last 15 with three home runs in there. You wouldn't know the difference in the clubhouse. And I think that is a real compliment. It's a testament to his character and the kind of leader that he is.
Lane Grindle joining us here on ESPN Milwaukee's opening day special, and I'm Gabe Knight. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Jackson Churio, because I know there are a lot of youngsters that are making debuts all across baseball and a lot of excitement all across, but Jackson at 20 years old, being in the opening day lineup, being as good as he is, what's been the most impressive thing that you saw from Jackson Churio over the spring and into the first three games of the season?
I think the way he's embraced all of this, there's a lot of attention paid to him. There are a lot of eyeballs on Jackson. He's become a household name before he ever even stepped in the batter's box. And that's a lot for a 20-year-old baseball player to handle. And I think he's handled it all brilliantly. I think in some ways he's just wrapped his arms around it and said, okay, here's the pressure, here's the attention, but I got here for a reason and I'm going to trust that. And that's the way he's played so far, too. He's brought that same confidence and energy to the ballpark in those three games. He performed at a really high level. And there's some maturity in the way he plays the game, too. I mean, Pat Murphy's been very honest throughout the spring that there's growth left in his game, especially on the defensive side. But the way he hit behind the runner on Friday for his first big league hit, I mean, those are things that young players don't always do in that moment, because they get caught up in trying to pull off, you know, the baseball or trying to do too much. And that's just not him. And he has a lot of great skills. He's going to put the ball in play. He's got power. He's got, you know, all the defensive skills that you could want. But I think the speed is going to be the thing that consistently shows up game in and game out, and it's going to stand out to you because he's made a few plays already with his legs on the base paths. He's made some plays in the field, too, that just the pure athleticism is the reason why he made it. And you can't coach that. It's just there. He's a special talent. I can't wait to see what he turns into. And there was a great story in MLB.com over the weekend where a bunch of guys were asked for comps, and almost every guy talked about Ronald Acuna being the guy that they would comp him to. But I thought Christian Yelich's answer was brilliant. He just said, let's let him be Jackson Churio, because that might be pretty darn good, too. And so I can't wait to see what kind of a ball player he turns out to be. It's a really good start so far through three games.
You mentioned his athleticism. He was able to steal a base. Bryce Durang stole four. Sal Frelick had one. Christian Yelich stole a couple of bases despite being the oldest position player on the roster. The athleticism of this team is, I think, the thing that stands out the most. And it's only going to get better once Garrett Mitchell gets healthy. Because of that athleticism, do you think the style that they're going to ultimately play this year is going to be something that fans are going to enjoy watching?
Absolutely. If you enjoyed the games this weekend, that's what they want to be. You heard them talk about it in the spring, and it's easy to talk about it. You got to go do it. And this weekend in New York, that's what they did. They did exactly what they talked about, being aggressive. You know, Reese Hoskins has used the word relentless a lot when he's talked about this offense. And that's what they were. They put it on display. Now, can you do that every single game? Is there going to be games where you're not going to do that as well, or somebody's going to get thrown out? Of course. It's a 162-game season. It's not always going to go according to plan. But the first three games did, and that's a fun brand of baseball. I was just talking to a few folks in the dugout a few moments ago, and they were talking about that series. And I said, but it was so much fun to broadcast. I mean, you can talk about the situation on Friday with Hoskins and McNeil and some of those things, but even take that out of it. It was a fun brand of baseball all weekend long, and there was something going on, it felt like, in almost every single inning. So I do think this is going to be a really fun team to watch. It's an improved offense. I feel really confident in saying that. There's some right-handed power now that has shown up with Hoskins and Jackson Churio, and you got, you know, another year older with a Sal Frelick and guys like that. So I think this is going to be a very improved offense, and I think it's going to be a really fun style of play.
Talking with Lane Grindle here on ESPN Milwaukee's opening day special. I'm Gabe Neitzel, hanging out at the tailgate house. Lane, I hope wherever you are, it is warmer than where I am. But again, people are showing up for the tailgate. Like you said, I mean, it's one of the best fan bases in baseball. But one of the people I think is going to be so important this year is obviously Pat Murphy. And fans have been familiar with him in that he's been around and been the bench coach for Craig Counsell. But what do you think fans need to know most about Pat Murphy? When you get asked about Pat, what's the one thing that you want people to know and you tell people?
I think I'm going to give you two things because I think okay. They go together really well. And I think there are two reasons why he's going to be successful. And one is he has a real depth of care for the people in his orbit, you know, the people in his clubhouse, the guys. He cares greatly, and he cares about the little things. You know, he wants to know about how things are away from the field, right? Like, he's genuinely interested in that stuff. And that might not seem like much, but it's authentic, and guys appreciate that. And then I think he's one of the most competitive people you'll come across. I mean, he makes no bones about it. Like, it's when it's time to compete, it's time to get serious and compete. And I think you saw a team that did exactly that. I thought they really mirrored his personality this weekend in New York. I thought it was beautiful.
Did Rhys Hoskins introduce himself to a fan base in quite possibly the best way possible this weekend?
I don't know if there's a better way to do it than he did. Absolutely. He's going to get such a big ovation today when he's announced at American Family Field. And it's going to be like a complete opposite reaction to what he got in New York. And I don't know, maybe the fans in Milwaukee should boo him, and that should just be a thing, because it felt like the more New York booed him, the better he played.
I mean, it was, do we think that the crybaby celebration after he hit the home run, do we think that's something that could potentially stick around all season? All these home run celebrations, I mean, because they always happen organically, right? Like, it's the cheese head going through the line, ringing the bell, and it changes every year. It seems because this happened so early that this could be the celebration that they have this year in the dugout.
I'll tell you, Gabe, that thought crossed my mind, too. I hope it does. I'm not in charge of that, but I'm rooting for that to be a thing that sticks around, because I think it's great, and it's so organic, as you said. I mean, it's such a natural thing that this team has kind of rallied around, to be honest.
All right, a lot of talk, Lane, about the athleticism, the youth on, you know, the position player side. On the pitching side, the depth has been hit. Whether that's trading away Corbin Burns, whether that's Brandon Woodruff dealing with the shoulder injury that he's going to have to deal with all year. Like, when one of those guys, you know, happened to miss time, like what he did last year, like, oh, okay, you still have Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta. But now with both of them down, obviously, I mean, I am incredibly high on Freddie. I think he is absolutely not just the ace of this staff. I think he can be an ace, period, in baseball. I think he showed that in his first start this year. But what about the depth behind him in the starting rotation? What are the Brewers looking at after Freddie Peralta?
Yeah, I think you're right in bringing that up. That's probably the concern. It's going to require creativity at times. After the off day Thursday, it's a pretty good stretch of games in a row. The three with Seattle, and then go to Cincinnati for four, go to Baltimore for three, come right home and play again. That's going to be a tough stretch, and it's going to challenge the Brewers' depth from a rotation standpoint. So I think that's the thing that the front office and Murph and the staff are going to be looking at. And they're going to be trying really hard to come up with the right solutions for that. That's also why you saw Brian Hudson get stretched out, Bryce Wilson get stretched out, and others over the course of spring training, because it's not just going to come from the starting rotation. It's going to come from middle relief as well, like what you saw from Hudson on Sunday. He couldn't have got off to a better start in his Brewers career with the way he pitched. And they're going to need performances like that to get through some of these stretches.
I guess when I look at this team, I guess it's probably the best year, you know, since you've been with the team in broadcasting, but the year they went to, you know, the NLCS, and that was a team that just kind of pasted together starting pitching and just had, you know, Counsell loved to call them just out-getters and the initial out-getters and all the different words. I guess I look up and down and I see some arms that I like. And I'm hopeful that they are going to be able to be creative and be able to put together a really good staff with Freddie Peralta at the top of it. Because you look at the bullpen on the other hand, Lane, in the bullpen, there are some electric arms. And even though you don't have Devin Williams, you still feel good if Abner Uribe or Joel Piumps is out there closing out a ballgame.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as much as the Williams injury was a heartbreaker because he's the best reliever in baseball, or one of the two or three, if you're going to have that conversation, that was a position of death. I mean, they have a lot of arms back at the back of the game, and you saw that this weekend, that are capable of getting the job done. Piguero, McGill, Hobie Milner, obviously Piumps, and then Uribe. This team, it does resemble, I think, a lot that 2018 team. I don't know if they're going to duplicate that success, but it feels a lot like that, where some of the answers from a rotation standpoint are going to be figured out over the course of the year. You know, is every guy that's in the rotation now going to be in the rotation come June or come August? Who knows? But they're going to be resourceful in how they come up with the arms to cover these innings, and that's going to be a challenge. But I think they've proven themselves over the years that they're pretty good at figuring this stuff out on the fly.
Lane, always enjoy talking to you. Enjoy the home opener for the Milwaukee Brewers, and thank you so much for the time.
Gabe, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Lane Grindle, one of the voices of the Brewers on the radio side. Again, you're going to hear him all summer long over on WTMJ. Brewers, Twins, inside the stadium. I do want to let you know that just kind of a quick note from the Brewers. If you are heading to the game today, there is a new way to park. If you have pre-purchased your parking, or if you plan on purchase parking once you arrive at the stadium, it's a little bit different. You scan a QR code and you have to enter your license plates. But there are some people who are having some issues trying to activate their parking today. What the Brewers are recommending is periodically attempting to connect. But in the meantime, there are plenty of parking ambassadors in the parking lots that are going to be going through each lot with handheld scanners to assist fans. So please be patient with that. We'll be updating you on that as well as you make your way into the stadium for the home opener today for the Brewers. Coming up next, who is the player you are most excited for on the 2024 Brewers? We answer that question coming up next.
To say, put the past away with you, and step back from that ledge, my friend.
It is raining, it is cold, but people's enthusiasm for the game is through the roof here at the Tailgate House. Do want to update, if you are on your way to the game today and you're unaware of the new parking situation, try to update you on that. So new parking procedures inside American Family Field this year, where if you pre-purchase your parking, or if you want to purchase your parking here at the stadium, it is a different way. There's not going to be somebody where you're paying or giving your card to and get your tickets as you come into the stadium. No, they're going to direct you to park wherever you want, whether that's the standard parking, the general admission parking, or if that's preferred parking. And then there is a QR code that are posted all over on light stands in the parking lots, and that's how you activate your parking. If you've pre-purchased or if you are purchasing at the game, doesn't matter, you need to use the QR code. I do want to update you this from the Brewers, that some people are experiencing issues with trying to activate their parking. The Brewers are recommending that you periodically attempt to connect, but in the meantime, parking ambassadors who are going to be all over the parking lots today are going through each lot with handheld scanners to assist fans. So please be patient with that as you're making your way to the stadium today. Brewers Twins first pitch is at 3:10. And with this young team, I'm just curious, you can join the conversation either by calling or texting 800-990-3776. The player you're most excited for, because when you look up and down this roster, I think there is excitement because of the athleticism that the Brewers have. And I'm curious, you know, I think most people probably would say Jackson Churio, but maybe a lot of people are excited for Rhys Hoskins with the way that the weekend turned out. And Joshy, I know you were talking about somebody that you were talking to about how Rhys Hoskins jerseys were just flying off the shelves inside American Family Field at the team store after the series this weekend.
Yeah.
They went to the store inside of AmFam Field there and said the attendant working the cash register said, yeah, these are their most popular jerseys this weekend, which is shocking with how excited everyone is about Jackson Churio, who, mind you, by the way, played very well over the weekend as well.
Incredibly well.
Yeah.
Incredibly well over the weekend.
He delivered what was promised to us, and Rhys Hoskins, because of the whole issue that happened in the first two games there, became a fan favorite. And let's be honest, Brewers fans have been dying for a guy like Rhys Hoskins at first base. They've wanted a guy they think could be reliable and hit a decent amount of home runs, and he did it in game two while also making Jeff McNeil and the Mets very mad at him.
What does that say about us as a fan base? That we just absolutely fell in love with Rhys Hoskins three games in because he slid hard into a base and then made a crybaby, like, because there's no coming back from them. You look at someone and go, wah, and do the crybaby face with the fists up by your eyes. There's no coming back, and Jeff McNeil knew there was no coming back. He like, turned as he was trying to have a conversation while Rhys was in the dugout. He was out in the field. He turned, got the crybaby face, and knew there was just no coming back. Like, the fact that he has just been endeared by the fan base, I love, and I hope we can keep it up. Because I'm really excited for Rhys Hoskins as well. But the other name I'm really excited for, I think if he can get healthy, and maybe this is the Brewers version of Christian Watson, but if he gets healthy, I'm going to be really excited for Garrett Mitchell. I think that Garrett was just finding his footing when he ended up having the unfortunate shoulder injury last year, and now he suffers the broken bone or the fracture in his hand that prevents him from being on the opening day roster this year. But I think once you pair those two together, Garrett Mitchell and Jackson Churio, along with the speed that Christian Yelich has in the outfield, I mean, they are going to be tracking down balls. They're going to be stealing bases. They're going to be playing exciting baseball. And then, oh, by the way, add in Bryce Terang, Sal Frelick with the youth and the speed that they have up and down this roster. 800-990-3776. Who are you most excited for on this Brewers team this season? We'll see what Sophia Minert has to say from Bally Sports Wisconsin. Again, she covers the Milwaukee Brewers. You can check her out on all the telecasts. She's found a little bit of time for us where she can jump on and help us break down opening day 2024 for the Brewers as Sophia Minert joins us next here on 94.5 ESPN. People still filing into the tailgate house where I'm hanging out. People excited for opening day, and I'm sure our next guest is excited as well. Sophia Minert, who you can always catch on the Bally Sports TV broadcasts, joins us now to help us break down opening day. Sophia, what number opening day or home opener is this for you?
This is number 12 for me, which is like
number
really
12.
Hard to believe. So I know. My first one was in 13. So I don't know how we got to that number, but these days are always really fun and really special.
What about opening day in baseball makes it just so much special? Because, I mean, again, like opening weekend of the NFL, the opening game in the NBA, but it's just something about opening day in baseball, especially the home opener, that feels different and feels special.
Yeah, I think especially like here in Milwaukee, I think it's something that fans look forward to. I mean, I do think there is something to like part of the calendar year, right? You feel like baseball is back. That means hopefully winter is over, with maybe the exception of the weather today and over the next couple of days.
The weather's disagreeing right now, yeah.
The weather is not cooperating with that sentiment. But, you know, I think it's just like it's like that literal and figurative like turn of the calendar where you feel like spring is coming, summer is coming, baseball is back. I think for the players, you know, especially this team, to have 12 players on an opening day roster for the first time, it's just really hard to get here, right? Like, whether you're drafted or signed internationally, to work your way up the minor league system, to get your first opening day, the introductions, the anthem, a full crowd. You know, we expect it to be loud in here and a lot of energy despite the weather outside, so I just think it's hard to get here, and that's why you don't take these days for granted.
Sophia, could Rhys Hoskins have introduced himself to the Brewers fan base any better way with the 3 days he had in New York?
No. I think for Reese, you know, just considering all the time he missed last year, missing a full season, he was really anxious to get back on the field. And I think he set the tone for what the mentality of this club could be. You know, it was kind of like go out and take it and come out and punch him in the mouth and have an answer. And I thought he showed incredible composure with how he handled everything with the pitch from Johan Ramirez, the interactions with the crowd. Like Reese is a player that he is as pro as they come. He's been there. He's seen it. He's done it. He's played at the highest level. He's been on really good teams. He's been a key member of really successful teams with the Phillies. And so I think he brings all of that to a team that kind of needs it, considering all of the youth that they have. So you put him with Christian Yelich and Willy Adames and William Contreras, and you've got a pretty good leadership group right there. But, yeah, I think some of that toughness, the composure, all of that he brings, fans are going to love Reese Hoskins. And I think he's probably going to get a little bit of a different ovation here than what he got at Citi Field game.
So you mentioned that, and 3 days ago, Sophia, I thought it would have been insane. Like, I thought he would have gotten a nice ovation because Brewers fans have been excited for a steady presence at first base, probably since Prince Fielder left. I think there's a chance with the way things played out this weekend that he has one of the loudest ovations when he's introduced going up that first baseline before the game today. Is that crazy?
No, I don't think it is. I agree. I mean, I think Brewers fans got a very quick introduction to the type of player and person that Reese is. But again, it's the professionalism, the experience, the talent. And again, I think with the injury, it's like he's only going to get better. The more that he's on the field, he's in there DHing today. They're still going to be cautious with him and the workload, like at the front end. But again, just like that toughness, that response, right, of you're going to boo me, I'll lean into that, I'm okay being the villain, that's only going to make me better. I think as fans, like, you love to see a player respond that way. And there's no doubt that the kind of impact that has on the other guys, right? To see his reaction and see him handle that way, that sets a tone without really having to say much.
The other veterans on this team, as we talk with Sophia Minard at ESPN Milwaukee's opening day coverage here on 94.5 ESPN, Christian Yelich, Willy Adames, what do you expect from them this season? I feel like Willy is just kind of, Christian's kind of the quiet guy, and Willy's the heart and soul of what this team has been over the last handful of years.
Yeah, I think Christian is the quiet leader, and the best way that Christian leads is just by being himself, being on the field every day, being at the top of the lineup. He had an incredibly productive season last year, and I think he's looking for more of the same and even better. He is always striving to be better. He's incredibly diligent with how he goes about that every day. And then I think, Willy, you're right, right? It's like he's the Energizer Bunny for them. He's the glue that kind of keeps everyone together. He's always talking. It's energy. It's joy. He likes to keep things light. And then, you know, again, just production. And he's like the quarterback of the infield out there. He's got Bryce Terang next to him. He's going to have maybe another rookie in Jory Ortiz next to him. Andrew Monasterio, of course. So you can't say enough about what those two do just by leading, by who they are, and also just the production on the field.
Sophia, just let me know when I can get excited about, because I know when you joined our regular show, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, this past Wednesday, I had mentioned the bomb that Christian Yelich had hit in spring training. And then he pulled another home run in the opening series. I'm just saying, if Christian Yelich finds that pull power again, just let me know when I can start getting excited, because I'm trying to temper the expectations for the power, but it just looked like that ball got out of the ballpark with just ease with Yelich over the weekend. So just let me know when I can start getting excited about the power.
I know. I hear you. I think he had a great opening day. To see that home run for him in the opener, I think it's obviously a great way to start. He was kind of joking after the game, like, well, I've never gone up to opening day and gotten on base in my first at-bat. So that was good for him to just get on base with a hit, right, followed up with a homer. He had a three-hit day. So maybe that's a good sign. And by the way, the last time that he homered on opening day was 2019. So if you want to draw anything from that, 2019 ended up being a pretty, pretty productive season. Yeah, I think Christian's in a really good place. And I think, you know, having those guys at the top of the lineup around him, he's been batting third instead of being in the leadoff spot. It's been really good for him. And again, if you can get more of the production and health and just the availability of Christian every day, that is the best possible formula for this team.
You had the opportunity this spring to be around Jackson Chourio, and now through the first three games of the season, what makes him such a special player? You mentioned how hard it is to make one of these rosters on opening day, and here he is doing it at 20 years old. What makes him so special?
Well, I think anyone will tell you he's just got all the tools. In terms of the skill set, people feel he's a real five-tool player, and that in itself, they're very hard players to find, and that's why the Brewers made that type of long-term commitment to him in December. And look, at spring training, it was a little touch and go for him defensively, but there was no doubt about his ability to hit. I think power will come for him. His speed, we got to see some of that. He can probably bunt for a base hit as good as anybody in the league, which is insane considering he's just 20. But just his speed allows him to do so much. So it's going to be really fun. I think, you know, he's really anxious to get on the field here and play in front of the home fans for the first time. I'm expecting him to get a big ovation because this is a player that fans have heard so much about. They've been waiting for him, and now he's finally here. And hopefully we're going to be seeing him for a very long time here in Milwaukee. But, you know, I think there's also, let's temper some expectations. And, like, Christian Yelich has said this multiple times. It's like, just let him be Jackson, right? Just let him play. There are going to be ups and downs for him. We know that. It's true for any rookie. But if he can be productive, and I'm not sure you could ask for a better opening series than what he did in New York. He checked a lot of boxes, you know, in terms of the first hit, the RBIs, on base. I thought he made really good at-bats, a couple nice defensive plays. I think for him to have that type of series to start really helps from a confidence standpoint.
And then finally, I think the one person that people want to know a lot about, but probably don't know a lot about, even though he's been here for a while, is Pat Murphy. And, you know, we know he's been the bench coach and different things. Haven't got to see his personality because that's just the way things go when you're the bench coach. What do you think fans are going to learn about Pat Murphy as the season progresses that maybe you know because you've been around him?
Yeah, with Murph, he is as authentic as it gets. He has decades, I mean, it feels like a lifetime in baseball between college ball, minor league ball, coming over from the Padres, obviously having been the bench coach here for the last eight seasons, and now he's taken over. And I think the players really respond to him because he's so connected with them. He cares so much. You know, when he talks about leadership, like for him, what's most important is loving them and also having discipline with them. And you know, some of the players that have been here a long time, like Christian Yelich and Willy Adames, they know that, like, he's an intense guy. He's as competitive as it gets. He's going to demand a lot of his players. But at the same time, he's got a great sense of humor. He's really dry. He'll let you know. He's brutally honest. So I think players respond to that. Like, there's authenticity to that. You know, what you see is what you get is how Christian Yelich describes him. So it's going to be fun. His press conference today was very entertaining. So, again, it's going to be intense, but it's going to be fun. And I think the players are all really excited about playing for him.
Home opener number 12, Sophia. I hope you enjoy it. And I hope, again, I'm assuming you're inside where it's nice, dry, and warm. But that's, you know, thank goodness for that roof.
Yeah. I mean, actually, it feels like every opening day game we say that, right? Basically the whole month of April. I think, let's be honest, the whole month of April we say, thanks for the roof.
Absolutely. Enjoy it, Sophia. I appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Have a good one.
Sophia Minert jumping on with us again. Catch her on the telecast, Bally Sports Wisconsin, where she's going to give you all the insight. By the way, shout out to Sophia. And I know she's done this so many times at this point, and maybe you've seen it you know, post game when she's interviewing a player because of, you know, the Hispanic influence in baseball. But her being bilingual, just such a treat to see her be able to talk to Jackson Chourio's family that were in the stands for his debut over the weekend in New York. And when, you know, somebody is the hero of the game and afterwards, you know, she gets to talk to them and be able to translate. It's an unbelievable skill that she has, and certainly has made baseball more enjoyable for all the Brewers fans out there getting ready for the home opener. We're continuing to get ready for the home opener just outside American Family Field. Still an hour to go on ESPN Milwaukee's opening day special. We dive into some of the players you responded with you're excited for this season, plus try to answer the question, can the Brewers, despite the roster turnover, win the division? We answer that question next on 94.5 ESPN.
It's baseball season.
Backing up Nimmo, turning, watching it sail. Goodbye! Reese Hoskins has made a statement at Citi Field.
Get ready for opening day with special opening day coverage.
Pretty great players over there on the other side. You know, it doesn't always matter. They can go ahead and compete with anyone.
Broadcasting live from the shadow of American Family Field at the Tailgate House. Here's Gabe Neitzel.
Let's fucking go.
Absolutely, let's go. Hanging out here at the Tailgate House. People filing in. It is absolutely packed. Weather not damping anybody's excitement for the home opener for the Milwaukee Brewers as they have a two-game series against the Minnesota Twins that begins today, just a little over 2 hours from now. Jacob Junis getting the start today for the Brewers. And Junis only started four games last year, had a save. He appeared in 40 games pitching last season. So, you know, when it comes to what this staff is going to look like, and Junis started in Kansas City, ended up pitching in San Francisco last year, started his career in Kansas City, I should clarify. But with Junis, I mean, these are the type of guys on the back end of the rotation the Brewers are going to have to rely upon. Somebody who's a bit of a veteran, getting that opportunity to be a starting pitcher. And, you know, maybe he works a little bit shorter and only goes five innings versus six or seven innings that you're hoping for at the start of the rotation with a guy like, you know, Freddie Peralta, or maybe somebody that D.L. Hall can grow into. But Junis getting the home opener starts seems like a good one to start here against the Minnesota Twins. And when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers, I think a big question about them is, all right, a lot of roster turnover. What can we expect from this team? And when you look at, I would say, either their over-under total, if you're going to the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Sportsbook, you know, their win total sitting around 78.5, 79.5, depending upon where you look. You look at Baseball Prospectus, who does Pecota rankings. That's the system that they use, where they're projecting the Brewers for 80.4 wins, and they're projecting the Cardinals to win the division. I think the most answer, though, is, well, you just don't know. Don't know enough about this team. It's just so young, it is hard to project just how good this team is going to be. And I'll be honest, I think my expectations are maybe a little bit higher than what Pecota has, or if I were to wander just down the street on Canal Street and make my way to Pottawatomie, I would put money on the over. Because even though it's different people in charge, and it really does feel like a new era of Brewers baseball. You know, when David Stearns decided to step away and Matt Arnold took over as the, you know, general manager and the baseball operations side of things. Well, Craig Counsell was still there. Well, now Counsell's gone. But with the people that replaced, you know, the two men that were really in charge of the past era of Brewers baseball in Counsell, in Stearns, with Matt Arnold and Pat Murphy, I'm still expecting more of the same. I'm still expecting a lot of the same things from the Brewers in terms of being creative, kind of taking a look at the roster that they've been able to put together and find out different ways to win. And I look around in their division, and they're fortunate. They're not out in the NL East where they have to deal with the Atlanta Braves. They're not sitting out there in the NL West where they have to deal with the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks or the Padres or the Giants, which the NL West very well could be the very best division in Major League Baseball this year. Certainly the best in the National League. Maybe the American League East has something to say about being the best division in all of baseball. But there's a lot of uncertainty up and down this division. St. Louis is a team that had an incredibly disappointing season a year ago, and I don't know if Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt are going to be able to bounce back from those seasons that they had. I don't know if adding Sonny Gray is going to be good enough to bolster a starting staff that kind of got off to a slow start. I think the Cardinals are almost getting kind of that reputation pick, like, okay, it's the Cardinals, they're always going to be there. But Cincinnati's a young team, Pittsburgh's a young team, Chicago, really the only main big difference that they had from a year ago is Craig Counsell, and they're still relying on guys like Cody Bellinger to continue to play at an incredibly high level. I'm really bullish on this young Brewers team, because the one thing that they've been able to do, and again, I think this continues with Arnold and with Pat Murphy, is use the rules to their advantage. Okay, you can't, you know, the Brewers were a team under Counsell when the shift was still allowed that shifted more than anybody else. You know, Counsell liked to push the envelope, and if you think back to that 2018 NLCS where Wade Miley literally started a game and then came out of the game after one batter to force the Dodgers into a, you know, okay, left-handed starter, okay, they're going to put a bunch of righties out there, then you come back with a right-handed pitcher after that. They try to do different things to have the rules work in their favor. And with these new rules, okay, lack of, you know, you can't shift as much. Bases are going to be bigger. Different pickoff rules. Okay, we're going to get younger. We're going to become more athletic. And we're going to take advantage of the rules that are in front of us. And I think this is a team that is going to look a little bit different than most other teams. You know, the Dodgers aren't going to be stealing a ton of bases, because why would they? Why would the Dodgers go out there and steal a ton of bases? Maybe Mookie steals a base here or there, but they're a team that has up and down that lineup guys that can drive the ball out of the ballpark. They can sit back and wait for that three-run home run to come. Same thing with the Atlanta Braves. You know, Ronald Acuna Jr. gets so much love there, but Matt Olson's been so good at first base, and it's an incredibly deep roster. It's an incredibly deep lineup. The Brewers don't have a ton of power still in the lineup. They've got Rhys Hoskins, who can drive it out of the ballpark on a consistent basis. Willy Adames has had a 30 home run season in his career. But after that, it's a lot of youth and a lot of people that have not hit a ton of home runs. And you know, I'm hopeful that Christian Yelich can get up over that 20, get close to that 25 dinger mark this season. But they're a team that is really going to rely on that athleticism. And that's the one word that continues to come up, whether we're talking to Sophia Minnert or Lane Grindle, or we talked with a couple of different people on Jen Gaben Chewy this morning, and Josh Maurer, who's also on the radio side of things with Lane. Athleticism and speed is the one thing that constantly comes up with this Brewers team, and I think that's going to lead to an exciting brand of baseball, because when you find yourself in situations where, you know, maybe in the past, I know some part of the Brewers fan base wished the Brewers would bunt more, try to, you know, give yourself up, move the runner over. Maybe the Brewers do a little bit more of that, but I think they're going to be selective when they do that and try to maybe even bunt for a base hit with some of the speed that they have. We saw that from Jackson Churio over the weekend. Bryce Terang still stealing four bases. He can bunt for base hits. Same thing with Garrett Mitchell when he's back. There's just so much speed. Sal Frelick up and down this lineup. Whoever's playing, that I think that is going to lend them to putting pressure on other teams. And putting pressure, getting guys in scoring position where you don't have to hit those big home runs. You're just more chipping away. I think it's a style of baseball that when Major League Baseball implemented the new rules, they were hoping that teams would do this, because too often with the way before these rule changes, again, every team was kind of looking the same. Teams weren't trying to steal bases because mathematically it didn't make sense when you looked at the sabermetrics or the advanced analytics in baseball. It just didn't make sense. Well, they want people to try to take more bases. They want different styles. And it's okay to be the Braves and Dodgers or Yankees or Houston and sit back and try to play three true outcome baseball. But having different styles is what makes, I think, baseball a little bit more interesting. The Brewers this year are set up to play a different style. And with the division they're in, I think they can go out and win it. I'm not scared of Chicago. I'm not scared of Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati finds themselves kind of in a similar situation with the Brewers, with some of the young, exciting players that they have. Pittsburgh's off to a hot start at 5-0, where they've got a lot of youth on that roster. I'm a see-it-and-believe-it type guy when it comes to the Pirates, just because they've struggled so much recently, but maybe they do climb towards the top of the division. The one thing I do know is it's going to be an incredibly competitive division. I don't think that anybody's going to be running away with this division, winning close to 100 games. I think the winner's going to be in the 80s. And if you finish with 86 to 89 wins, if you're the Brewers, I think you're going to be in a really good spot. And look, things have got off to a great start. 3-0 against a team in the New York Mets that have higher expectations maybe than they should, because based on their payroll and all the different things they have going on in New York. But things are off to a great start, and there are going to be bumps. Think about it from a Packers perspective. Things got off to a great start when they beat the Chicago Bears. Took their lumps over those next, you know, seven games, as they sat there at 2-5 at the end of the month of October. But then they kind of figured it out. And I think there is going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride with this team because of the youth. But no matter what, I think you're going to have fun watching this team. You show up at the ballpark, I think they're going to play a fun brand of baseball, and I hope you get to enjoy it. And I feel like there's an invigoration of this fan base, as well, again, because it's been with the youth of this team, the athleticism of this team, there's a bit of a turnover. And I think there's some excitement in that turnover for the Milwaukee Brewers. Despite winning the division a year ago, I still think that with the roster turnover, they can win the division this year. Eric Name is a buddy of mine, and if you follow Eric on Twitter, if you check out his great work at The Athletic, his area of expertise is basketball and the Milwaukee Bucks. But he's also one of the biggest baseball fans I know. He's one of the biggest Brewers fans I know. So we are going to talk with Eric Name of The Athletic. I know he wishes he could be here. The Bucks are on the road, so he's out there. But I want to talk to Eric Name, as he's going to give a bit of a fan perspective. That's coming up next, right here on ESPN Milwaukee's opening day special. Eric Name joins us next. Despite Mother Nature, I, for one, am excited for the home opener. Just a little under 2 hours away now here in Milwaukee. Brewers Twins, 3:10 is the first pitch. Somebody that I know loves going to opening day and unfortunately cannot be here today because, well, his job prevented it. Maybe you've recognized him from the great work he does over at The Athletic covering the Milwaukee Bucks, but he's also a huge Brewers fan. Eric Name joining the program. Eric, thanks so much for jumping on, man, and I'm sure you got some FOMO, but you're fighting through it to talk a little Brewers baseball with us today.
No, I appreciate you for having me on. I went to Nationals Park yesterday for opening day in D.C., and I got to say, it wasn't the same, you know? It just wasn't the same, so I'm having serious FOMO not getting to be a part of that this year.
Well, tell me about Nationals Park. It's not one I've been to, like... Did the beer taste different? Like, what was it that it just didn't quite hit for you? I've heard good things about the ballpark.
You go around the concession stands and I'm looking at, you know, crab cakes and chicken sandwiches. I need sausages. There needs to be grilled meat around. Like, the scent of grilled sausages is not emanating through every fiber of my being. That's what I need. I needed that, and I did not feel it yesterday, which puts me in a really strange place, because those are two things I associate, with baseball. You know, you're going to have a beer, you're going to have some sausage, and everything's going to be fine. I didn't get to have that yesterday. So to me, more than anything, that was the biggest thing. The Miller Lite still tasted fine yesterday. That was all good, but... It just is not quite the same without having, you know, a bratwurst or, you know, a Polish sausage while I'm sitting here trying to enjoy the game.
Well, so walk me through your perfect opening day menu.
Ooh,
Wow. Okay. I mean, so I'm going to go, you got to find sausages at especially meat markets, right? Like you can't,
okay.
You can't phone it in. You got to find some good sausages, handmade, good stuff, throw that on the grill. I mean, I'm not going to say there's a specific one. Like I want a very traditional bratwurst. That'll be one
okay.
thing to have. Sauerkraut on top of that, stadium sauce as well. Then you're going to go with a more specialty sausage. I don't know. Maybe it's like a lamb sausage or something. I don't know. Let's have
Ooh,
some fun.
Okay.
Let's get a little funky with that. Obviously, Miller Lite will be flowing, so you're going to have some beers as well. And then really what you got to be thinking about is what you're doing in the parking lot to then get yourself into the stadium. Because then once you're in the stadium, you're going to hit another sausage with some stadium sauce. No doubt about that. And then you know me. I'm an absolute sucker for the roasted almonds and the roasted nuts,
oh.
like that situation. I'm going to get
They're
some of that
so good.
As well.
They're so
and,
good.
And if I'm really feeling myself on opening day, I might even throw in some Dippin' Dots. I don't know. Depends how the mood strikes.
See, the one thing I know for sure, Eric, that I'm going to get inside, I got to get a soft pretzel. Our friends at Milwaukee Pretzel Company have done such a good job inside the stadium. I need a soft pretzel. Like, it's not something I get. You know, it's not something that's sitting in my freezer, although you can order them through Milwaukee Pretzel Company. Like, you know, I got to make sure I get that soft pretzel, get that cheese, maybe find some nachos somewhere. I feel like opening day is the excuse to go nuts for different things going on inside the stadium. But, of course, you got to wash it down with a cold beer.
Of course. The key is, obviously, you know, you got to be thinking about how to pace yourself this day. Because, you know, it can get out of hand in a hurry if you're one of the people that's waiting to tailgate at 7 in the morning. But don't do that. You can't get going that early in the day. You got to really pace yourself and get yourself going right around noon and carry it through the day. You know, get yourself home for dinner and everything's good.
All right, enough of the food talk, even though we could talk stadium ballpark food, I think, for days, Eric. What, as a fan of Milwaukee Brewers, what makes you excited about the 2024 Milwaukee Brewers?
So, I think there's a number of things. First of all, the NL Central is not in a great spot.
That's terrible. It's bad.
If you look at win projections, I think it's anywhere between 84 and, like, 74, and that's the whole Central. So there's no standout team. So that makes me feel good. This isn't the best Brewers team that we've seen in recent years, but if a team that can win 84 games, like that's a real possibility. And 84 might be enough to win that NL. Like the Central's in a bad place right now. So there is like actual hope to win the division, which seems crazy knowing, you know, kind of what the roster has gone through, what the pitching staff looks like, all that. So that's where I would start. There is some hope to be had from a team perspective. Then where I go is just kind of individual players and what I'm thinking, right? Like,
okay.
I don't know if I can do it quite yet. I probably need a little bit more sample size, but I think we're going to see some Jackson Chourio professional hitter tweets this summer, right?
Whoa. Like, I feel like in order to get professional hitter status, like that's not usually reserved for the 20-year-old kid.
Hey, I understand, but when you're driving balls with power to the opposite field like Jackson Chourio did over the weekend in New York, you got me starting to think about, you know, another rookie that came into Milwaukee smashing balls to the opposite field that, you know, made me want to tweet things like that. So, again, I'm not there yet. I'm just saying.
Okay.
That's how excited
it's got your eye. It's got your
eye. It's got my eye. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure.
Well,
obviously, you got to crown, like, you got to be real careful about who you crown in these situations.
Oh, 100%.
I will say I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it.
Well, so here's the thing. Maybe this will get you excited that I'm thinking about as we talk with Eric Name. Again, I know Eric is known for all the things he does with the, you know, covering the Milwaukee Bucks for The Athletic, but Eric also a big Brewers fan. So he's talking with us here on the home opener. The other thing that's caught my eye, and again, I mentioned it to Sophia when she joined us, and I told her she's got to let me know when I can start to get excited. But toward the end of spring training, I saw Christian Yelich hit a bomb. And it was a pulled bomb. And I think that's the one thing that's really been missing is that pull side power for Yelich. And then for him to pull a ball out of the ballpark at Citi Field on opening day, Like, I'm not, again, I'm with you and with you and Churio. I'm not there yet. I'm just monitoring the situation.
And I understand that it is somewhat of a Twitter meme at this point. But, you know, like, you see Christian Yelich at the home run, and the first
yep.
question you ask is, did he pull it?
Yep.
And the first one of the year, he pulled it. That catches my eye. That makes me think a little bit, right? Like, that's got to be a thing that we're going to continue to monitor as well. And again, he's about 30, 32 years old, he hasn't been quite the same, but all of a sudden, he's pulling the ball again. We're in a pretty exciting place. So you start there. And then, to me, this is just, you know, you and me going out to the ballpark on a Wednesday
afternoon.
We're
just talking, yep.
And we're just talking. Bryce Turin not being a Gold Glove finalist last year was absurd. Absolutely absurd. And I will say this. I understand that for as long as Gold Gloves have existed, they are both an offensive and defensive award. And I know how stupid that sounds, but
yep.
it is the truth. You have to hit well enough to be a Gold Glove finalist. It's backwards. It should be all about your fielding, because I think Bryce Turin is the best second baseman as a defender in the league. But he hit pretty well in that opening series, which means he's going to play a bunch of games, which means I'm going to get to watch him run all over the infield, make ridiculous plays, spinning throws, diving stops. Like, watching Bryce Turin at second base is a joy. And again, I understand that right now everyone's not super happy with, you know, the state of baseball, 3-2 outcomes, and seeing a bunch of grounders. But when a grounder is hit towards Bryce Turin, I'm excited. I'm having a good time. I'm
well,
excited to see what he's going to do with it, because he's that good defense.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think the Brewers are playing baseball that's not 3-2 outcomes, and I think that's going to be exciting for you as a fan. Last question before I let you go, Eric. More exciting pitch for you to see as a fan, Abner Uribe's sinker or the airbender from Devin Williams?
Ooh. I can't really think about Devin Williams right now, because it makes me a little sad.
That's fair.
Like,
that's very fair.
It's just like, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. So I'm going to go Uribe right now, because that thing dances all over the place, and I don't know how you would attempt to hit it, because it is flying. It is just an absurd pitch. And again, I didn't even get this part. Another reason that I am excited about watching this team is the whole bullpen throws gas.
Everybody's it's just straight heat.
It is gas the whole way. So you know it, no matter when you show up, in, you know, no matter who's coming out of the bullpen, it is going to be flame. Just flame out of their arm towards home plate, and that is exciting. Even if the team isn't doing well, even if things aren't going well, seeing dudes throw triple digits is always fun. Oh,
Eric, I appreciate the time. I am going to have I'm going to have a beer for you inside the stadium when I get there, pal. I can't wait till we're soaking in some sun and enjoying some beers inside AmFam Field as Brewers fans later this year.
I cannot wait. Thank you for doing that for me.
Eric Name, again, he covers the Bucks for The Athletic, but a huge Brewers fan, joins us here on our opening day coverage on 94.5 ESPN. Joining us next, you can hear him post-game after Brewers games on WTMJ. Dominic Catronio joins us here on 94.5 ESPN. ESPN Milwaukee is opening day special from the Tailgate House. Just in the shadow, although not many shadows being cast by American Family Field today. A little bit of cloud cover, a little bit of rain, but people still excited for baseball here in Milwaukee. Brewers taking on the Twins at 3:10. Joining us now, you can catch him Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ after contests, after Brewers games. He is Dominic Catronio, and Dom's one of my favorite guys to talk to, because Dom, not only is he a golf guy, but he's also a baseball guy. So I love talking with Dominic Catronio as he jumps on with us here. So, Dom, I always appreciate the time. Who do you think gets the biggest and loudest ovation when the team is announced and they're lining up the first baseline before first pitch today?
Yeah, you're the third person to ask me that today. I would say, look, I know Reese
seems like an easy pick, right? Reese Hoskins.
Okay, yep.
Don't
yep.
sleep on Brandon Woodruff. I think Brandon Woodruff Ooh. Never got a chance to say goodbye. Now that he gets to come back, even we know how it ended last playoff, I think that's going to be an awesome moment.
Okay, so I was not aware that that was an option. If I knew he was going to be an option, because the crazy part about Reese Hoskins is, 3 days ago, I would have not have had Reese Hoskins on my list, and yet he probably had the best 3 days and best way to introduce him to the Brewers fan base with the way everything played out in New York.
Yeah, I joked with him, actually. You know, it's obviously New York and Philadelphia are a little different cities than Milwaukee, to say the least. You know, you got the media obligations, you got to make your rounds and everything like that. And we had the press conference room with those guys, too. And I joked with Reese, like, hey, man, a little quieter here than it is in New York, huh? And he just kind of gave me a smile and, you know, that kind of look of like, yeah, I know. It's been kind of wild. But to your point, I think to introduce yourself the way he did is obviously great. But I asked him too, like, what about the body? What about the health? What about the eyes? Like, you haven't played baseball for a year, man. How are you feeling? And he is above and beyond what he thought he was going to be. Obviously, there's a little bit of rust there still, but he is just glowing about how his body has recovered and the healing that he's gone through, and is fired up to play a full season here.
Well, and he's going to be one of those few guys, and right now it only seems like there's a handful of guys, Dom, that I guess are quote-unquote regulars, because they're going a lot of matchup-based early. I mean, you're going to see Christian. I think you're going to see Reese, whether he's playing first base or DHing. Contreras and then Churio. After that, it seems like they're playing a lot of matchups here early in the part of the season. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I want to see more of Sal Frelick, including against lefties. I don't know how aggressive the Brewers are going to be with that, given how much they love Blake Perkins defensively. I do agree with you, though, that you did list off the majority of the regulars, aside from Willie Adames, though, too, in there, and William Contreras in there as well. I look at this lineup, and I look at the variety that it presents, right? You've got this mix of speed and power on a day like today, right? Frelick at the top of the order. Contreras can move him over. Yelly can drive him in. You got power with Willie. You got power with Reese. You even got sneaky power with Jake Bowers in there, too. And then you get back to the speed with Terang, you get back to the speed with Churio. There's a great variety, whether it's a regular lineup or not.
Talking with Dominic Catronio again. Catch Dom Brewers Extra Innings after Brewers games on WTMJ all throughout the course of this season. Freddy Peralta is now at the top of the lineup, at the top of the rotation for the Brewers, and he was always kind of mentioned, I feel, in the past, Dom, as that night's depth piece. So if you know, Woody, or if, you know, anybody had to miss a little bit of time, you know, Corbin Burns, okay, he's on the DL, he's got to miss a couple of starts. Oh, no big deal, because you have Freddie. Now he is that headliner. Do you think he can kind of take that next step and be that true ace of a staff?
I think he's already taken that next step, honestly, with the way he pitched on opening day in New York. What I see with Freddie Peralta, what I see is a guy that is the same guy every day, to use that cliche. But the biggest thing about Freddie is it's no secret what makes him successful. It's his fastball and it's his command. And you look at how well he pitched the other day on Friday in New York. Yes, the strikeouts were there. But what impressed me most on a windy, chilly day in New York, in front of his extended family, he's got a lot of family in New York, he goes out there and is calm, cool, and collected. Six strong innings, only allows one hit, the homer by Starling Marte. I look at Freddie, going back to the All-Star break last year to now, he has been one of the 10 best pitchers in all of baseball. And there's no reason to say that he can't keep doing it. At the same time, you don't want to expect him to be one of the best in the world. But there's also, you know, this is, what, 5 years now, 6 years now of Freddie Peralta being an everyday big leaguer? He's feeling more and more like himself and understanding what it takes to be the best, and he's being asked to be the best this season with the Brewers.
How do they do it every year in terms of this front office just finds big-time arms to put in the bullpen that you feel confidence in? Devin Williams is going to be out for a significant amount of time, and yet you feel good when Abner Uribe or Joel Piamps is out there. How do they keep finding these arms, Dom?
Scouting, baby. It's all scouting. So I actually had a great conversation about this with Matt Arnold during spring training. The Brewers are one of the last hybrids of the world. And what I mean by that is scouts these days in baseball, they're getting eliminated. Their budgets are getting slashed because the nerds are starting to run the game. And don't get me wrong, Matt Arnold, and he's got a nerd team. But Matt's background is scouting. That's how he first broke into a front office. And the blend of scouting and analytics and also coaching, it's a three-headed monster. You got to be proficient at all three to be able to produce what they've been able to produce out of the bullpen, because you've got guys like Jim Anderson and Chris Hook and everybody else behind the scenes that help out with these pitchers, on top of the scouting department that identifies guys like Yoel Piamps is a great example. With the Royals and A's in 2022 and briefly the Diamondbacks, it was very pedestrian numbers. Like, all right, this guy's whatever. He'll throw the fifth inning, big deal. Now, the last 2 years, he's been arguably the second most important reliever on the Brewers, only behind Devin Williams. That is because somebody identified in the scouting department that this guy can be something. And the list goes on of other success stories like that. Remember how mad everybody was when they traded Hunter Renfro? Elvis Piguero came back in that deal. How do you think they feel now?
It seems to have worked out. I think that when I look at this, Dom, and I know it's the one word that everybody brings up when you look at this roster, back to the position player side, athleticism. It feels like it's been a while since the Brewers have been this athletic. And going back to the scouting thing and the way that the Brewers do things in the front office, it seems like no matter what the rules are, pre-rule change, now post-rule change, the Brewers are going to use the rules to their advantage. Oh, the bases are bigger? There's a pitch clock? It's a little bit easier to steal bases? All right, let's see what all these athletes can do. And I think they're going to push the envelope trying to use that speed on the base paths.
You're absolutely right, Gabe. That's going to be identity of this team with what Pat Murphy wants out of these guys. Look at Sunday's game as a perfect example, right? When you have speed and when you have that ability on your team, the inning is never over. Twice in the first two innings, you know, you got a man on first with two outs. Both times, they stole second and the next guy drove them in, right? You think a two-out single is not a rally, but when it's the Brewers, it becomes a rally because of that ability and that threat to steal second base and the dynamic way that they're able to play the game. And even Pat Murphy talked about it today. Even if we're not running, the thought of them running can certainly mess up the psyche of a pitcher. And maybe we'll see a little bit of that this week because the Twins have one of the best catchers in the game in Christian Vasquez. He's always had a big arm. He's somebody that can help neutralize the running game. So I'm excited to see that cat and mouse game these next two games.
Dom, I appreciate the time, buddy. Can't wait to talk more baseball with you as the season progresses. Enjoy the home opener for the crew.
I can't wait. Thanks for having me, Gabe, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Stay dry, and let's have some fun.
Dominic Catronio joining us here on ESPN Milwaukee. Again, catch Dom after the games. Brewers extra innings over on 620 WTMJ. The KBN boys are going to be jumping on and joining me next as we get ready for opening day on ESPN Milwaukee. I went to a drink to wrapping things up from the tailgate house, having a good time before the Brewers get ready to take on the Twins at 3:10. The boys of Kyle Brust and Nortman are joining me now here on ESPN Milwaukee's opening day special. They'll be on the air taking you through 5 o'clock. Boys, has the weather at all dampened your excitement for the home opener for the Brewers?
I'm not going to lie, absolutely not. Since I walked in the tailgate house,
this place is hot.
I am completely full of vibes. Now, the person we should probably ask is Kyle Wallace.
Because me?
When I looked at you before we went on air, it was a face of how am I going to get through the next 3 hours and 15 minutes?
Well, you guys showed up with space heaters.
Yeah. Oh, they told us to bring space heaters just in case it was going to be too cold. They said it looked like you were in Antarctica.
I did see Gabe's breath. I went on the stream on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, and I was like, oh, damn. Because this is indoors, and I figured the body heat would carry, but it's not. But here's the thing. There's a lot of liquid courage being passed around.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen jello shots. I've seen everything. So when I walked in, I was ready to go. And I really am not going to lie. The last hour and a half, I wish I wasn't preparing for the show with these guys because you had some great guests on, and I loved what I saw from the first three games, and I can't wait to watch baseball after the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to go in.
Yeah, I mean, not only was I wondering what the Brewer vibes were going to be like here. I was like, I don't know. Are the fans going to turn out? Is it going to be as exciting as it is with when it's 35 and rainy? The fact that it's way more than I expected in the parking lot with tents, the grills are going, tailgate house is on fire, it's turned me up an extra notch than what I would have normally been for an opening day. This is what separates the real fans from the fake
fans. And why you should listen to Gabe Neitzel in the morning and when we're talking about the opera. You guys gave away some spots to this, didn't you?
I think, yeah, we did. We absolutely
and that's
did.
Like, when this is, I'm not trying to go sales guy here, but I'm going to go sales guy here. When we're telling you to do some cool things and pay $69 for all you can eat, all you can drink, you're not going to be out there. I saw people sit, like, when we parked, they were setting up their tent, and by the time they get their tent set up, they
it's
might as well
late.
Have not put up a tent.
It's too late.
So, $69, nice to get here, unbelievable.
Now, I am way too deep into baseball and love it too much, but I feel like there's a different vibe around this team. But again, I don't know if that's the
it's
baseball
not you.
In there.
It's not you.
I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't just me.
And you may know this, you may not, Gabe. Over the last 3 years, and especially with the rule changes, I love baseball.
Okay.
I'm watching random baseball games that I'm betting on. Now, betting does help with engagement.
Sure.
But I'll watch every Brewers game I possibly can. And now with the baby girl, it's going to be perfect background TV for doing a feed with the baby. I'll have the Brewers on all day, all night. But the biggest difference I felt is, I think, Pat Murphy. I love what Pat Murphy's done. He's letting these young guys embrace their youth. Like I just feel like there's a newfound energy. Not that Craig was a bad manager, but we knew he was just so even-keeled and steady. Pat's letting these guys show personality. You mentioned Reese Hoskins. And the fact that he's getting into it game one and game two and the crybaby, it's like, this is why I love baseball, because I'm feeling more entertained. And I'm not on my phone and going to the kitchen. The next thing I know, I come back and they're still stepping off the batter's box or the mound. Like, if you go away from your TV or your radio, you are missing action, and that's why I have loved the rule changes in baseball.
Are you with Pat Murphy? I know, Kyle, you took the Craig Counsell thing probably the hardest of anybody.
He still has
at
nightmares.
Station,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I believe in loyalty, yes.
Yeah. But Pat Murphy, are you as excited as your boy Benny Brustin?
No. You know, just because of the fact that he is the manager of the Brewers, I'm already going to be loyal to Pat Murphy. But what I've seen early makes me even more excited. I told these guys right away, game one, I was sitting there clapping because we stole a base. Guys getting
hits. Now, Gabe, is there anyone worse than a game one of 162 second inning clapper?
The only way it would have been worse if he's like, oh, he's on pace for 162 stolen bases.
Yesterday,
Gabe, somebody hits a home run opening, 162 home runs.
Here
goes the record.
But we have Jackson Churio as an NL MVP already booked.
not this year, but in his career.
And as proof to support that argument was
he said OPI. Yeah, 417 average.
417 right
Gabe,
now.
What were you
Come
doing
on.
At? Gabe is a baseball player. Gabe, what were you doing at 20?
20, so I would have been starting my sophomore year at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville.
At Platteville. Gabe was at Platteville. Jackson right here. No knock on Gabe. I'm just saying. That's how impressive that is for a 20-year-old.
We all love Jackson Churio, but saying he's batting 417 within the first three games and putting him as an NL MVP is a little rich for my blood.
You know,
sorry, don't call me crazy.
Maybe I'm just a good talent evaluator. I think that one day he's going
early
to
adopter.
Be an, exactly NL MVP.
We have Jordan Love in the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame. Jackson Churio is an NL MVP. In his career.
Yep.
What else we got? The floor is yours
Bucks will win a championship, obviously.
Well, that's the hope. But here's the thing. I think the energy and the momentum that you had from the new birth and a rebirth and the newness of Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers has just carried over with the youthful movement that we have with the Milwaukee Brewers. So I think that's why there's just a new, fresh breath of life and energy around this Milwaukee Brewers team.
Yeah, to me, with baseball, it's always been, where's the sense of urgency? Where's the excitement? And this team personifies a lot of that. Rule changes helped along the way, speed up the game, and create that urgency. But this young team, they're scrappy, they're passionate. Looks like they're having fun out there, like they really want to be out there. That draws me in.
Go-to ballpark food.
Well, Brad's going to kick it off with us at the top of the show, so great tease by Gabe.
Yeah,
oh,
but I actually want to do something, Gabe, here.
Okay.
What do you look at when you see Brad Norman? When you look at Brad Norman, what do you see? Because I see something very specific.
You see something very specific? I mean, he's a corner outfielder.
I was going to say he looks like he's going to go coach a Little League team and tell them nice hat.
Come on, stay in the box there, kid. Eye on the ball. Stay down on it. Here we go.
You know what, this is the first time I've seen him with a baseball cap on.
First time wearing a cap in front of all you guys and on air. I got him. I got the ball cap. How do you think?
The ball cap.
All right. The ball cap.
You got the ball cap.
The ball cap.
How old are you?
That's my point. I'm the dad here, but he really should be the one with the kid at Little League right now.
Yeah. What are you going on, 60?
I can't say ball cap. What's it, a hat?
I mean, hey,
that's
look.
That's what the pros call it.
I told Homer this. I told Homer this when I was doing the show with him all those years. He calls his wallet a billfold.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I mean, again, you can call it whatever you want. You're just not going to, you know, endear yourself to a certain portion of the population.
Yeah. I'm not making that connection when I call it a ball cap.
Correct.
Okay.
The Gen Zers listening to us right now have no idea what a ball and a cap is.
I'm not adding just 5 years. I'm adding, like, 40 years when I use that kind of vernacular.
Oh, just let me go. Yeah.
We're trying to grow the game of baseball.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Trying to get the younger generation.
Jackson Churio's wearing a ball cap out there.
It sounds like it's sophisticated, though. It feels like it's old time, right? That's what baseball is. America's pastime. Let's use all the old lingo.
He's got a little Scotty Smalls in him.
A little bit.
I think he's got a little Scotty Smalls. We got to bring him along. We got to teach him the ropes.
Steep its rich history.
Look, yesterday it was Kyle Wallace teaching Brad Nordman what the difference between a trap is, a trap song, and a different what kind of song?
Trap
and a ratchet
music
song.
And ratchet music. Yeah. Do you know the difference, Gabe?
I don't.
You know the difference. Okay, so again, trap music is what you hear from Atlanta, and you hear a lot of trap rappers like T.I., Young Jeezy.
Yeah.
Y'all heard T.I., Young Jeezy. But then ratchet music, if we just heard Back That Thang Up, that's a little ratchet.
Okay.
Y'all know, early ratchet.
A rapper named Sexy Red.
Okay, that sounds ratchet.
I don't know her music, but
the name itself seems ratchet.
It is, and she had a song called Get It Sexy yesterday that we played. And so that is more ratchet music. Music that makes you want to just twerk, you know what I'm saying? Get your ratchet.
Exactly what the Tailgate House is here for, to twerk.
Based off the music they're playing, I'm loving it.
Have you actually twerked? You're just out at the club and you're just like, oh, this song makes me want to twerk. So
because
then you twerk.
It's not a natural response for a guy, I would figure. That's strictly a female move.
Listen, I'm good with my sexuality and who I am as a man. I'm shaking a little behind once in a while. You know?
I'm not shocked at all.
Thank you. I know you know who I am.
But the more I look at Kyle, knowing that we're going to be from 2 to 5, I see his breath coming from his face, and I see how stiff he looks. At what point does he start pouting during the show game?
I've got some hand warmers here. Do you want me? Do you want these?
He's got a space heater. He's got a hand warmer now.
Those are yours. I got those nice and warm for you. Those are yours for the next 3 hours.
I'm good. Kyle, you're Mr. Milwaukee.
We're
Mr.
Fine.
Wisconsin.
No.
Don't you embrace this cold?
I embrace the cold.
Great.
Listen, it's game time. As I was walking to my car to go grab more layers, and I was walking back, I said, you know what? I feel like I'm back in high school playing football because, you know, the rain's coming down and it's cold outside. It's
Discover the difference at findhigherlove.com/CBD. Higher Love Cannabis.
Did we just get a national bump?
Just hard out?
I think that was like the Oscars when they're winning the Academy Award.
Kyle, you were so engaging that Chris Larson fired a commercial.
They'll wrap it up. But anyways, like I was saying before, I am ramped up and ready to go. Thank you for the hand warmers. I will definitely take this warming assist.
Teammates helping teammates. That's what we got to do.
I will say, just feeling that vibe, the cold weather and everything, there's just not any fan group that would show up the way Brewer fans are showing up out there. I mean, countless tents. This place is packed. It's still amazing to me how Brewer fans show up, literally rain or shine, for opening day and support their Brewers.
Brad, read that. What's on the? Don't read it. I'm just kidding. He can't see it. But that shows the energy, and I can't read it because it's explicit. But it's somebody writing on a fogged glass in the Tailgate House because people want to get after it.
Oh, Jill.
Lane.
Kyle, you looking for Jill?
And where do I find
them? Wayne Grindle joined us earlier on this show, and he's been doing Brewers games now for 9 years, so he's not, you know, from Milwaukee. But he said, man, this is one of the best fan bases out there because it is awful outside.
It's terrible.
But we are all here, and because tailgating, when it's opening day, rain, shine, sleet, snow, who cares? We are going out there. We're going to tailgate. We're going to go in, and we're going to party and watch ourselves.
We are, but you know who's not? Homer. 2 years ago, we were outside, and he's like, hell with that. I'm not going out there in the freezing cold. I'm going to do a show in the studio.
KBN, these boys coming up next. This has been ESPN Milwaukee's opening day special live from the Tailgate House, brought to us by our friends at Herd Hospitality.
Thanks, Gabe.